Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei says a major accomplishment of General Soleimani was to reinvigorate the resistance front. On the third day of its extensive maneuvers, the Iranian army successfully tests new Iran-made anti-missile and air defense systems. And people across the world welcome the advent of the year 2023 with fireworks and light displays. Thanks for joining us. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has described the revival of the resistance front as a major achievement of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei was speaking ahead of the anniversary of General Soleimani's assassination by the U.S. Iran's leader said the late general protected, equipped, and prepared the resistance against the Israeli regime and against the influence of the U.S. and other arrogant countries. He cited the defeat of Daesh terrorists as another major achievement of General Soleimani. Ayatollah Khamenei said that General Soleimani propped up the resistance in Iraq and in Syria using their domestic potential. Hakime Sagaya-Beria is an academic and political analyst who joins us. Welcome. When we take a look at the statement made by Iran's leader, it's worthy, if you can, of mentioning the resistance front and, of course, what he meant by the reinvigoration of the resistance front and how that has been actually witnessed based on what Qasem Soleimani did.
We have to look at this in the context of the politics that the United States has had for the region in the past 40 years and what the Islamic Republic of Iran has been able to achieve in that regard. I want to mention a book by a military historian, Mr. Andrew Besovich, who has written a book about American militarism over the past 40 years. The book is called America's War for the Greater Middle East. And he actually says that the United States has been at war for the past 40 years to achieve its, preponderance in this region, its hegemony in this region. And this war has included the 8-year war between Iran and Iraq, the imposed war on Iran. And it has included all the other wars that we have had over the past 40 years. So we are actually witnessing this sort of activity on the part of the so-called arrogant powers, the powers who are whose goal is to achieve hegemony in this region as part of a global hegemony. Now, the Islamic Revolution has started a movement in this region, a movement towards independence, a movement towards a region free of foreign interference. And Sardar Soleimani has been a major figure in this regard. In if we want to, understand what sort of independence we are talking about, the Islamic Republic looks at independence as a multi-layer process, something that is not achieved only at the national level, but that should be pursued at the international level, at the regional level. And it includes the creation of a resistance front because there is, on the part of foreign powers, a concerted activity to create a region that is at the service of the interests of the foreign powers, especially the United States.
All the reasons that you cited, aren't they exactly the reasons why the United States felt, although it's, committed a huge error, of which Iran has said that, it's not going to forget this, that for all the reasons that you cited is why the United States decided to take out Soleimani based on the effectiveness that he had and, of course, all the reasons that you just said?
Yes. Of course, this is another example of the short-sightedness of the United States. you know, from all the different political, you know, leanings that are there are in the United States, you know, from the Democrats and to the Republicans. You know, this happened during the time of the Trump presidency, but you see this sort of short-sightedness on the part of the Democrats as well. But this was, you know, the thing that they were thinking, I think, was that by the physical removal of this personality from the scene, they would put an end to the resistance, to the ongoing resistance that was, you know, becoming more powerful as they went by. But, you know, experience showed that not only didn't resistance stop, but it became more powerful, it became more steadfast. And of course, over the years, Ayatollah Khamenei has mentioned that when you look at the personality of Sardar Soleimani, Shahid Soleimani, you shouldn't look at him as a person, but as a school of thought. And that has happened. That has been the reason that his legacy lives on. And actually, the power of Shahid Soleimani is very much more than General Soleimani.
Thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. Hakima Saraya Beria, academic and political analyst. Many thanks. The Iranian army has begun the first operational phase of its massive annual drills near the southern port city of Jask. Day three of the exercises saw the army units successfully test Qadir portable anti-missile system, as well as Mirsad and Talash air defense systems. All of them are Iranian-made. Naval forces also test-launched a range of torpedoes from different classes of submarines. One of the torpedoes, dubbed Miad, was launched from the Navy's heavy Tarek-class submarines for the first time. The weapons include the Valfaj-class torpedo, which is a tactical interceptor thanks to its high-speed and powerful warhead. Army officials earlier said using Iranian-made weaponry is the main strength of the drills. They said the objective is boosting combat readiness of the troops. The Iranian Foreign Ministry has organized a specialized forum on the role of the late commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, in combating terrorism. During this meeting, dubbed the Specialized Forum on Fighting Terrorism and Extremism in the West Asia region, guests and attendees from different Iranian institutions and bodies discussed the fight on terror from different perspectives. Mahdi Abbasian has a report.
The Center for Political and International Studies of the Iranian Foreign Ministry has organized a specialized roundtable focusing on the fight against terrorism and extremism in the West Asia region. Guests and attendees from different Iranian institutions and bodies took part in the forum, which concentrated on efforts made by the Iranian anti-terror commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Among the most significant topics discussed during the meeting were fighting terrorism in the West Asia region from the point of view of international law, the role of General Soleimani in fighting terrorism in the West Asia region, and the role of the United Nations in fight on terror in the West Asia region. On the sidelines of the meeting, Iran's former ambassador to Iraq, Iraj Masjidi, highlighted the late commander's role in neutralizing terrorist groups in neighboring countries.
When Lieutenant General Soleimani was assassinated, I was working as the ambassador of the Islamic Republic of Iran to Iraq. He would frequently travel to Iraq in order to confront the ISIS terrorist group and help the Iraqi armed forces and Hashd al-Sha'bi with planning and logistic support. In other words, he played a prominent role in Iraq in the fight against terrorists.
Masjidi also said that efforts to bring a prosecution against those involved in the assassination of General Soleimani continues. In this regard, the head of a special Iranian committee tasked with pursuing the case of General Soleimani's assassination in domestic and international courts said an indictment on the assassination will be announced soon.
The UN report that described the assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani as unlawful and arbitrary has made prosecution of this crime easier for us. It clearly holds the U.S. accountable for committing this crime and violating international law. The Foreign Ministry and the Ministry of Justice have also made efforts based on the 1973 Convention, and the results will be announced soon.
He was referring to a report by a UN expert on extrajudicial killings concluding that the targeting of General Soleimani and those accompanying him constitute an arbitrary killing for which the U.S. is responsible.
Iran has had a significant role in the fight against terrorism in the West Asia region, particularly in Iraq and Syria. And Iran's top anti-terror commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, played a pivotal role in combating terrorism and defeating Daesh. Mahdi Abbasian, Tehran.
The Yemeni Health Ministry condemns shelling civilians in border regions as a war crime. Saudi-led forces have attacked civilians on the border areas of Sadr Governorate, killing a number of people, including African immigrants. Human rights NGO AIN has urged the formation of an international committee to probe the crimes committed by the Saudi-led alliance against the innocent people of Yemen. The NGO criticizes the international community for turning a blind eye on the war crimes in Yemen. Since the beginning of a UN brokered truce in April, the number of people killed in Saudi attacks has amounted to around 3,300. Different areas of the border districts in Sadr are subjected to Saudi missile and artillery shelling on a daily basis. The war in Yemen started in the year 2015 by Saudi Arabia and some of its allies. It has turned into the biggest human catastrophe of the 21st century. Earlier, we discussed Saudi Arabia's continued bombing of Yemen with author and journalist Robert Fantina.
Saudi Arabia has a goal in Yemen, and it will do whatever it takes to achieve that goal. And that goal, of course, is establishing a government there that is that the Saudi regime wants. So the fact that this ceasefire has not been a ceasefire is really quite shocking. It shows that the Saudi Arabian government is similar to its ally, the United States, and can't be trusted to maintain its agreements or keep its word on anything. The many war crimes and crimes against humanity that were mentioned by your other speaker, these are the bombing of infrastructure, roads and so on, water reservoirs, bombing of press buildings, bombing of medical facilities, bombing of homes, residences. These are all war crimes. And yet Saudi Arabia is committing them on a regular basis despite the ceasefire. It simply wants to basically have Yemen as almost another area of it, one that will just whose leadership will do whatever it is that Saudi Arabia wants. So that's why it has been assaulting the Yemeni people so brutally for these last 8 years, and why it's escalating it now, because it wants to continue its program of cruelty in order to reach its geopolitical goals.
Saudi Arabia has repeatedly and widely faced accusations of using sports to cover up human rights abuses, a practice called sports washing. Those claims were given a fresh boost with the lucrative move of Portugal star Cristiano Ronaldo to a Saudi club. Ronaldo has signed for 2.5 seasons as player for Al Nassr. Media reports say the 37-year-old could be earning up to $200 million a year from the deal, making him the highest-paid sportsman in the world. He will also reportedly serve as an ambassador for Saudi Arabia's ambitious project to host the 2030 World Cup. There was also an international outcry when Saudi Arabia Sovereign Wealth Fund took over Premier League team Newcastle. Saudi Arabia has also been using other sports such as Formula One, boxing, golf to promote its image worldwide. The kingdom faces international criticism for its human rights violations both domestically and abroad, including the war in Yemen and the brutal murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi in the year 2018. Afghanistan is reporting an explosion outside of the military airport in the capital, Kabul. The spokesman for the Afghan ministry says the blast caused civilian casualties, but he did not specify the exact number. The cause of the explosion was not immediately clear, and an investigation is underway. The military airport is close to the Taliban's Interior Ministry's building. In the past few months, Afghanistan has witnessed an increasing number of security incidents, including explosions. Just 3 days ago, several people were injured in a blast that rocked the capital of the northern Tahar province. Abdullah Mirzadov gives us more details about the explosion in the Afghan capital.
Well, as you might be aware, a rather strong explosion shook the 15th district of Kabul, which is also known as the airport district, this morning. The sirens of ambulances were heard. They were heading to the site. And it is said that the explosion occurred at the gates of military airport, which is a smaller part of Kabul airport. And the Ministry of Interior Affairs of Afghanistan have approved this explosion. They have also said that there are casualties, but they have not yet given any exact number on the number of the dead or wounded. But they have said that there are casualties, and they have not yet clarified whether the casualties are civilians or maybe military forces. And data on the explosion is still limited. We don't know a lot about it. We do not yet know what caused the explosion. The Taliban have not given data on that too. The site is now closed for further investigations, and no group have claimed the explosion yet.
People across the world have been celebrating the arrival of 2023 with fireworks and other festivities. And that does it for this edition of World News. It's bye-bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the all-compassionate, the all-merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 1st, 2023. I'm Atefa Irfani, hosting this program today. And on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, I congratulate you on the new year 2023. We wish you peace, joy, love, and good tidings on the occasion of the new year 2023. And as you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your favorite program, and we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world which I mentioned some of your names here, and later during the program, I will read these letters and emails. Before the program, I was just reviewing these letters and emails from around the world, and most of them focus on the New Year greetings and congratulations. Yes, we've received an email from Guatemala from Osman Adrian Ramos. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India has sent us an email. From Germany, we've received an email from Klaus Hober. Richard Cook from the UK has sent us an email. Dario Gabrielli from Italy also has sent us an email. And we've received congratulation messages from Heikki Pranen from Finland, Alejandro Filimonchak from Argentina, and P.S. Sikar from India. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and let's see what Osman Adrian Ramos from Guatemala has said. Thank you very much for your good wishes. I send you greetings from Guatemala, where I occasionally listen to you when propagation conditions allow it. Happy New Year 2023 to all the listeners of IRIB English Radio. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Osman Adrian Ramos from Guatemala, please accept our warm appreciations to you for this email. Actually, we Iranians celebrate the beginning of the new year in spring, on the first day of spring, on the first day of the Iranian month of Farvardin. But we congratulate you on the new year 2023, and we wish you all the best. Osman Adrian Ramos from Guatemala, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL as verification. Thank you, Osman, from Guatemala. And from India, we've received an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our old and regular listeners. Let's see what Jayanta says. Dear staff, I sincerely thank IRIB English Service for giving me an opportunity to discuss on the New Year celebrations in India. Just like Iran, India is also a multicultural country where people from different backgrounds live in peace, love, and harmony. I offer my New Year greetings for my fellow listeners of IRIB and to all the peace-loving people of Iran. May the coming New Year 2023 be joyful, healthy, and prosperous for all. With kind regards from India. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, salam and warm greetings to you in the winter days, in the cold winter days actually, and happy New Year 2023 to you. Thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio as well as Iranians and our listeners around the world. We wish you peace, love, joy, and good tidings on the New Year 2023. And Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, thank you very much. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon, and we wish you all the best. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. We've received an email from Germany from Klaus Hober. Let's see what Klaus Hober says. Dear friends of IRIB English Radio, the very best for Christmas and a good new year also to you and all the listeners. As for me, I am Catholic priest, so I have some celebrations for holidays, especially with young people who get dressed as magicians and go from house to house and collect money for children living in poor countries. I have sent you a reception report. It would be great if you confirm it. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and thank you for writing to IRIB English Radio. On behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, I also congratulate you on the Christmas and New Year 2023, Klaus Huber from Germany, and thank you for sharing your experiences during the New Year and Christmas with us and with our great listeners around the world. As for your information, dear listeners, we in Iran celebrate the New Year at the beginning of the spring and the Iranian month of Farvardin. We celebrate the beginning of the new year on Farvardin first. We call it Nowruz. You may have heard about it. Anyway, we wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you soon. And please accept our EQSL as confirmation. And here we've received an email from the UK from Richard Cook, one of our regular listeners. Let's see what he says. Good evening and hope all is well there. My new year is actually quiet, but I do hear fireworks and some boat horns around the area in the UK being close to the sea. My reception is very rare these days as there is like only two English broadcasts a day now. Both are hard to catch. I hope I can pick you up again soon. Salam and greetings to you, Richard Cook from the UK, and thank you for sharing your New Year experiences with us. So you celebrate Christmas and the New Year quietly, and you sometimes just hear fireworks and some boat horns around the area in the UK being close to the sea, and that's good. And what a pity you had trouble in tuning in to IRIB English Radio. We are so sorry about that, but if the problem is on our behalf, we will fix it soon. Yes, we will refer to our technicians and engineers, and we will fix it soon anyway. We wish you a very happy New Year 2023, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And please accept our EQSL as verification. Welcome back from Italy. As I said, we've received an email from Dario Gabrielli, one of our old and regular listeners. Dario Gabrielli says, "Dear friends of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting, it is with great pleasure that I received your New Year's greetings, which I reciprocate from the bottom of my heart. Unfortunately, I have not been able to listen to your English language programs recently, but I promise that I will soon start listening and send you the listening reports, which I hope you will receive. Thank you, and I send you and all the listeners my greetings and my best wishes for a happy 2023. Salam, ciao! Greetings to you, Dario Gabrielli from Italy. And thank you very much for this email and also your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. We wish you listen to IRIB English Radio station very soon. And maybe you were busy during the Christmas and preparing for Christmas. Anyway, we wish you a happy 2023 and we're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And as I said, we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world focusing on New Year celebrations and greetings, which I will read some of them. For example, Heike Pranen from Finland has said, "Hello to all the listeners to IRIB English Radio, and Joe, we wish you a joyful New Year 2023. With best regards and have a prosperous New Year 2023. Thank you, Heike Puranen from Finland. And Alejandro Filimonchuk from Argentina has sent us a New Year message saying, thank you very much for the New Year message. We celebrate New Year almost the same as Christmas with our family, and we dine and celebrate it together. Of course, with a lot of fireworks. I am in Argentina. Happy New Year. Thank you, Alejandro Filimonchai from Argentina, and Happy New Year 2023. And the last one from P.S. Sikar from India. Best wishes for a happy and prosperous New Year 2023 to all. Thank you, P.S. Sikar from India. Dear listeners, before wrapping up this edition of Listeners Special, on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, I congratulate you on the new year 2023, and we wish you peace, joy, love, and good tidings in new year 2023. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is the show A to Z. For today's program, Brother Muhammad is going to talk to us about Islamic education. Stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In today's discussion with regards to Islamic education, we would like to look at an important aspect of the Islamic value system, which is the performance of salah, or the daily prayers. Now, this salah is not restricted to the daily prayers alone, but when it comes to the obligation of salah, it begins with the daily prayers. When we look at inculcating this and nurturing this aspect of the Islamic lifestyle into our children, we find salah to be a very important act of worship on one hand. But on the other side, we find that salah is something that cannot be forced, cannot be inculcated in one go. Rather, it needs to be nurtured over a span of time with patience, with perseverance, and with the right mixture of what to teach, what to inculcate, and at what time. And indeed, we find that at around the age of 6 years, the children need to be introduced to salah such that they start praying. Now, obviously, for boys and girls, there might be different expectations, because girls become baligh and reach the age of maturity at 9, and boys become baligh around the age of 15. But in any case, the instructions from the Holy Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is that the children need to be commended and enjoined towards salah around the age of 6. Now, there are certain principles that we as parents need to keep in mind when we go about teaching Salah to our kids. And one of the very important principles of inculcating and nurturing Salah is that the parents take it slow and gradual, and they do not pressure the children. Rather, they go forward in inculcating Salah with ease for the children. So number one, let's keep our expectations low at first. Let's introduce the very basic elements of Salah, and thereafter build on them slowly and gradually. We find that in the human being, there are many capacities, but these capacities and potentials get nurtured and they flower over a span of time. And a child cannot be expected to reach perfect state of Salah overnight or even in a week. The child needs to first be able to observe prayer being performed and thereafter try and emulate it in whatever way he or she can. And thereafter, once they reach that age, that at 6 years of age or so, between 5 and 7, on one hand, their internal God conscious, their godly innate conscience, the fitra, is blooming, and they're feeling the urge to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on one hand. Their godly inclination is pushing them towards Salah on one hand, and on the other hand, they are being taken by the hand and taught Salah. Now, this is a very important stage, that if the child is pressured too much, the child may not be able to continue. But on the other hand, if the child is limited based on very few expectations, then again, the progress and the development, the spiritual progress and development of the child would be stinted. Therefore, the parents need to be very careful in balancing the nature of the child and the capacities that the child possesses with the slow and gradual process of inculcation and nurturing Salah. I hope you enjoyed today's discussion. Until next time, fi amanillah, under God's protection.
IRIB English Radio.
Our website is parstoday.ir.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. In the limelight.
The United States of America is a country that suffers from violence and daily killing of its citizens. But in the last months of this year, 2022, the level of violence and the use of firearms by the American people against each other has reached a peak. We take a look at some of the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Hill newspaper gives us more detail. According to the non-profit organization Gun Violence Archive, there have been a total of 609 mass shootings in 2022 in the United States so far, putting the country on pace to reach around 675 by the end of this year. Last year saw a shocking 690 mass shootings across the United States, up from 610 in 2020, and 417 mass shootings in 2019. The Gun Violence Archive database researchers said on Wednesday, 23rd of November, the country is three mass shootings away from 2022 being the second highest yearly total since we began tracking data. By Thursday, the country was just two shootings away from that dark milestone. At least five people were killed and a dozen and a half injured in a mass shooting incident at a nightclub in the U.S. city of Colorado Springs recently, and six individuals were shot dead on Wednesday, 23rd of November, at a Walmart superstore in Chesapeake, Virginia. According to the Gun Violence Archive, a total of 39,820 people have so far lost their lives in gun violence incidents in the U.S. this year alone. Over 18,000 of deaths were homicides, while around 21,500 deaths were declared suicides. The Gun Violence Archive researchers said after the Colorado incident, Gun Violence Archive had never logged a month of 60-plus mass shootings before 2020. It happened five times in 2020, six times in 2021, and now six times again this year. According to Gun Violence Archive, the U.S. has experienced an average of 1.68 mass shooting incidents per day so far this year. The 2018 Small Arms Survey found that there were approximately 393 million firearms in civilian hands in the United States, or 120.5 firearms per 100 people. That number is much higher now, given the soaring increase in gun sales in the past few years. U.S. President Joe Biden in July admitted that a flood of guns was turning American communities into killing fields and vowed to reinstate a ban on assault rifles. The remarks came in a White House ceremony to mark new gun control legislation that President Biden signed on 25th of June. Biden said, "This has taken too long with too much of a trail of bloodshed and carnage. The past many years, across our schools, places of worship, workplaces, stores, music festivals, nightclubs, and so many other everyday places, they have turned into killing fields." The Tehran Times has also covered the same story. Amid growing political polarization, more Americans are buying guns amid a climate of fear and insecurity. The United States has marked the third consecutive year that the country has registered more than 600 mass shooting incidents. The spike, documented by a prominent non-governmental organization, comes as a record number of Americans purchase guns amid a political landscape that fuels fears of violence amid growing polarization. The Gun Violence Archive has labeled mass shooting incidents as an American phenomenon and defines the deadly incidents as any attack in which there are at least four victims shot, injured, or murdered by a gun, but excluding the perpetrator of the attack. The latest statistics paints a disturbing picture of increasing gun violence in a country where there is so much political division that American news outlets are openly speaking about the dangers of a civil war. The latest figures have also been released as Donald Trump has announced his candidacy for a Republican presidential nomination in 2024, nearly 2 years after inspiring the deadly insurrection on Capitol Hill. The former president and his supporters strongly believe that the U.S. election was rigged in favor of his rival Joe Biden. Among Donald Trump's supporters are white supremacists and other armed extremist groups. Trump received more votes in the 2020 presidential election than he did in the 2016 presidential election. In 2020, the Republican candidate enjoyed the support of more than 70 million Americans, an indication of how many of the American public maintained support for Donald Trump's views and rhetoric. It also shows how polarized the United States has become. This is despite the many challenges facing Donald Trump, including the latest FBI raid on his Florida residence at Mar-a-Lago that angered his fan base, who have also expressed their strong belief in voter fraud in the last election. Experts say the deep divisions in the country, alongside the vast mass shooting incidents, will likely spark further turmoil in U.S. politics and potential violence among voters of the Republican and Democratic parties. The Insider website has also covered the same story and gives us more details. Following the Colorado shooting, President Joe Biden urged the country to address the public health epidemic of gun violence in all of its forms. President Biden said, "Earlier this year, I signed the most significant gun safety law in nearly three decades, in addition to taking other historic actions." It has been very clear that Biden's most significant gun safety law in nearly three decades has had no effect on the increasing figures of gun violence, as 2022 is set to go down in the history of the United States as a year during which the second highest number of mass shooting incidents took place. The other problem in the U.S. is that, with the National Rifle Association, NRA, an extremely powerful gun lobby in Congress that advocates for the right of U.S. citizens to carry weapons. Opinion surveys show that only 52% of the American public actually support any form of gun control. According to polling by Gallup, only 11% of the population say that gun laws should be made less strict. Experts say this shows an environment of insecurity and fear that Americans live in. Not only are Americans concerned about political violence and the future of their democracy, but also the rising rate of crime in the U.S. Gun ownership significantly increased over the last few years. Earlier this year, research by the Annals of Internal Medicine found that 7.5 million American adults, under 3% of the population, became the first new gun owners between January of 2019 and April of 2021. These are the latest statistics from the Gun Violence Archive as of 24th of November 2022. The total number of deaths as a result of gun violence that involved all causes stood at just shy of 40,000 deaths, with 39,845 incidents documented. Homicides, murders, and unintentional deaths stood at 18,197. Suicides using firearms stood at 21,648.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio. Herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about the wisdom behind a man's ignorance of the span of his life and obviously the time of his death. This hadith is also a part of a very lengthier hadith which is very famous as the hadith which Imam Sadiq alayhi salam narrated to his companion Al-Mufaddal. It's known as Tawheed al-Mufaddal, in which the Imam, he recounts the various wisdoms behind certain things in creation. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Contemplate now, O Mufaddal, about the fact that man's lifespan has been concealed from his knowledge. For verily, if he was to know the span of his life, and if it were short, he would never take pleasure in living, while being always in anticipation of death and the time that he knows. In fact, he would be like someone whose wealth has perished or is close to perishing. So he feels a sense of poverty and terror at the thought of losing his wealth and a fear of poverty. The feeling which the man who knows that he is going to lose his life is much more intense, for the one whose wealth is diminishing still continues to hope that some of it will be replaced, enabling him to live off that. Whereas he who is certain of the loss of his life is taken over by despair. And if instead his lifespan was to be long, and he knew this, he would be certain of staying alive, and would therefore become absorbed in vain pleasures and sins, and would act to gratify his desires, intending to repent at the end of his life. Meaning he would think that, well, I have some time, you know, I can always repent at the end of my life. And if you retort by saying that right now, even though his lifespan is concealed from him and he is anticipating death, he still yields to vile sins and commits forbidden acts, we would then reply that the way this matter has been decreed is exactly how it is at the moment. And if man, in spite of that, meaning in spite of his ignorance of his death, does not desist from and shun sins, then that is because of his own heedless merriment and the hardness of his heart, and not because of a mistake in the divine planning. It's a very beautiful hadith, and it indicates and alludes to the fact that God Almighty has not disclosed the time of death for a person, so that that person will not become obstinate in sins, rather he will always be precautious, because he might not know when he would die, so he'd be precautious of sinning because of this. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the wisdom behind the concealment of a man's lifespan in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
The UN General Assembly has asked the International Court of Justice to consider consequences for Israel over its occupation of Palestinian territories. The rights of the Palestinian people to self-determination, as well as Israeli measures aimed at altering the demographic composition, character, and the status of Al-Quds were put into focus. This comes as the Israeli coalition, headed by Netanyahu, has already stated that it would go ahead with things like illegal settlement building and altering Al-Quds status. In this edition of the Spotlight, we will look at whether this move by the UNGA would make any difference and change the facts on the ground. First, let me introduce our guests for this edition of the program. Rod Hughes is a journalist, activist, and director at Palestine Aid Belfast, who joins us from Belfast.